Welcome to Dark Mode, the podcast that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. But that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when finally they get a new Mac Mini for their grandpa. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On this show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
And today's laugh is one of victory and jubilation, because we've actually got DOSDude in the chat yet again. And DOSDude has been, he's been setting the internet on fire a little bit with this these new Mac releases that we had on Friday. I happen to have one right here, as you can see. Ooh, the new Mac Mini. Look at this thing.
It's so
How
cute.
Can you not love it?
Oh,
look at it. It's just a tiny, it's a little boop, 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 boop. It's, you could kind of tickle it. Coochie, coochie, goo, hello. Look at him. What a great little guy.
Oh, so cute.
And, you know, what's not to love about an actually mini Mac Mini that's more powerful than ever at the same price with 16 gigabytes of RAM as standard and removable upgradable storage?
Wow.
Did you see that? I know you're off Twitter, so you no longer are aware of anything that's happened ever in the entire world.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was like pretty sure that these Macs had released, but I wasn't 100% sure.
Oh my God. Somebody get this man Twitter downloaded. You know we host a tech podcast,
right? I know. But the thing is,
you know, we literally 1 week ago were talking about, oh boy, the new Macs come out next week.
Okay, I was like 99% sure, but like I haven't seen them in person yet, which means that they may or may not be real.
So is your object permanence just, you're really late on that one?
I mean, I'm saying like you held it up and then I was like, it's like mm-hmm. proof. It's like proof of life. You know, like, look at that. It's so cute. Like, I couldn't even conceive of something that cute unless I saw it. You know, I wouldn't believe it until I see it.
Right, right. And see, you know, this is still not in person. You are aware of that, right?
Well,
like, there's a screen here.
It's not in person, but I think, like, I trust that that's real. I don't think that you have like a demo unit or like a fake. I think I trust it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I know it's on a screen. I believe it's real.
And you know, when we get these, this really does make me wonder, and people in chat are wondering as well. When will the Mac Studio get M4? Well, allow me to just sort of channel my inner Mark Gurman for a second. We're currently expecting that the Mac Studio could be released anytime from January through December of 2025, or later than that, or not at all. So that's roughly like, you know, I hope that that gives you kind of a sense of when to expect that.
Well, I was actually expecting it tomorrow, so it's good to know that it's like January at the earliest. Like that is actually very helpful.
Well, I mean, look, there's some murmurs, there's some chatter. It could be tomorrow.
Oh.
It could be. I mean, it could be any time between now and the end of time, or never. Is really, you know, sort of the range that you should be expecting it.
Mm, okay. Okay. That seems pretty reasonable.
and they said thanks for the clarity. Lucas Germuntus. Oh, don't know. That sounds like a gum disease.
Yeah, like gingivitis.
Here's another great question from a longtime viewer who's been watching us since before you were born.
That's
arguably.
That's true.
Noah's mom asks, "What is the purpose of a Mac Mini?" And to that, I say, really anything you could think of. What? Why not have a Mac Mini? If not as a computer, then as a friend. Look at it. How can you not love this? It's okay. In real talk, though, this I legitimately think is the best computer that Apple has ever made. I am absolutely head over heels in love. I actually proposed. This is my betrothed.
It said yes.
Yeah. Well, it sort of beeped. In like a sort of a, you know, yes, a sort of an affirmative type beep.
Was it one beep or two beeps?
It's sort of a Morse code situation.
Oh, I see. It communicated that it was a yes.
Yes. Well, yeah. Very clearly. Yeah. No. Thank you. Yeah. We're, it's been a long time coming, right? Now the thing about this Mac Mini is not only has Apple made every single aspect about it better, but they kept it the same price and it has upgradable storage. And we know that because DOS Dude already did it. Didn't wait at all. He just said, hey, there it is. Ripped it open. Upgraded it to a terabyte. Bada bing, bada boom. Record time. This is genuinely, I was like, holy cow. Bro is not waiting for anyone. And the thing is, though, the upgrade that Colin was able to do, which is, you know, what anyone would actually be realistically able to do right now, was he actually had to desolder the NAND from the modular board that it comes in. And this, I think, addresses a common misconception. People call these SSD. They say, ooh, the Mac Mini has an upgradable SSD. No, it doesn't. It's not an SSD because an SSD, I might actually have one. I think I do, actually. I can show you exactly what I mean. Mm. An SSD needs some things that Apple doesn't actually put on it to be called an SSD. So here's one that I have just, you know, in my desk drawer, as you do. Here's a Samsung 980 Pro. All right, I'll put on my forehead so you can still see me. So, NAND. God, it's hard to look at. This is like looking in a mirror here. It's very confusing. These two black chips here, those are the actual NAND. This is a 2 terabyte SSD, so each of those is a terabyte. First of all, crazy that a terabyte fits on that tiny little thing.
Yeah.
But there's two other chips here. It's kind of hard to see, but you see this this littler black one up there?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a DRAM cache. And what that does is it basically indexes where everything is on the NAND. And so when, you know, your computer says, hey, I'm looking for this file, the DRAM cache is kind of like, oh, it's right over here. I'll show you the way. You know, it has like one of those little, the airplane little lights things. And it's like that way. It's like, that's where your gate is. There's your file. Very important information.
This is very technical.
But then there's this other chip. Oh, of course, you know, that's, we keep it real. We're two technology experts after all. So then we got this big silver chip. And that is the actual SSD controller. Now, interestingly enough, this Samsung drive, that's a Samsung chip. It's actually an ARM processor. I think it's a 32-bit, 5-core ARM chip. And that manages the storage. So everything on here is self-contained. You could plug this into one computer, you could unplug it, put it in another computer, and that computer can read that and say, I know what's going on. That's an SSD, and I can copy that data from there. But that's not what is in this new Mac Mini, or in the Mac Studios, which have a similar design. Basically, those modules, as I call them, are just straight-up NAND, which means that if you take it out of your Mac Mini and you put it in another Mac Mini, that Mac Mini is going to be like, what the hell is this? What am I supposed to do with that? That doesn't mean anything to me. Because it doesn't have a controller in it, which means it has no idea. Why doesn't it have a controller? Well, glad you asked. Apple being Apple built that into the SoC. So on your actual M4, M4 Pro, M1 Max, all of those Apple Silicon chips, the SSD controller is part of it. So the NAND modules, whether it be a removable thing like in the Mac Mini or soldered directly onto the board like in a MacBook Pro, they are literally just like hardwired straight into the CPU. SoC, sorry. And that makes things a little bit more complicated for these upgrades because you have to communicate the actual system with the NAND. And specifically, it has to be correctly installed and blank NAND if you're going to pair it for the first time. people have made recreated modules for the Mac Studio. If you're making that and you put a new NAND on it and you program it wrong, done. It's cooked. Throw it out. Start again. Will never work. So it's tricky. You know, we're not talking about an NVMe SSD here. But the long and the short of it is, once these new modules are reverse engineered, you will be able to upgrade your Mac Mini's storage. And that is a really big deal.
Yeah, that is definitely really exciting. I think one of the main things about Apple Silicon is that it's been a lot harder to do memory upgrades. I guess it's been harder for a while now, but like that was one of the things with Apple Silicon was like, yeah, everything's in one chip, so it's great and it works well together and we have, you know, unified memory that's shared amongst the CPU and GPU. But at the same time, it's this one, you know, package, opaque package that it's very hard to make it modular. So being able to do this, like being able to upgrade the storage in something, is a pretty big deal. And it's something that we thought that we maybe were going to lose, or it was definitely, obviously it's harder to do now than it was, you know, maybe a while ago in the past, but it's great that it's possible to do it now. It's really cool.
Yeah. And it's a weird, I don't know, it kind of feels like we're living in a strange timeline, right? Because when Apple switched over to Apple Silicon, we kind of thought that upgradable storage was going to become dead, right? You look at the M1 generation, the M1 Mac Mini, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, the M1 Pro, the redesigned MacBook Pros, all of that is all soldered, right? That wasn't necessarily new outside of the Mac Mini. But then even the iMac became a single board, you know, literally just a MacBook Air in a different shape, right? And so it was really surprising to see the Mac Studio with those removable modules. We were like, well, wait a minute, what the heck? What's that all about? And then, and the thing was, nobody really knew what to make of that for the first couple of weeks. Like, I took them apart, iFixit took them apart. Linus Tech Tips, they took them apart. They referenced my video, and I could tell because they were talking about specific things that I did. They didn't actually mention my video or like the other videos that they mentioned, but I know that they referred to, at the time, it was like maybe 3 or 4, right? They couldn't get it to work. So like everyone was kind of like, well, we don't really know what to do here. It took a little trial and error for people to figure this out because Apple was completely dead quiet about it. But then the Mac Pro came out, and the Mac Pro is weird because it is officially user upgradable. So it's very bizarre, right? You can go on the Apple Store and buy the modules to upgrade your Mac Pro, which is the exact same system as the Mac Studio that also has removable modules, but they don't, you know, not a peep, right? You're left up to your own devices on that. So it is weird, and I honestly don't see it changing. I don't think Apple's going to come out and say, Mac Mini upgrade module, here you go, buy it on the Apple Parts Store. But it is physically possible. Other people will offer it. So it's like, I guess we count that as a win. Even it feels like someone on the Mac team is like throwing this in here like under the radar, and they don't want to make a big fuss about it so that Tim doesn't get them.
Yeah, or it could almost be, I mean, this is obviously, like, it's not saying that it actually is this, but, like, it's almost like Apple knows that there are some people that want this. There are plenty of people that don't care. Like, they're going to buy whatever storage they have, and they're not even going to think, oh, I could, you know, can I upgrade this? Could it be upgradable? Whatever. Most people don't care. Mm-hmm. Some people do care. Apple clearly doesn't want to directly cater to those people for a bunch of reasons. I think Apple really likes to say, you know, on their store page, they say, make sure you get the right amount of storage, you know, when you buy the things, you can't upgrade it. I think that they like to have that disclaimer to try to get people to buy more storage. But I almost wonder if Apple's like, I mean, realistically, it's probably only possible because it's easier for them to produce it. Like if it's a modular thing and they can produce all the different SKUs and it makes it easier to produce, you know, that you can upgrade the storage, then maybe that's why. But like, I almost wonder if they're like, okay, we'll make it possible, but not easy, so that other people can do it. Third parties can offer it, and we don't have to offer it. We don't have to take, we don't have to take the blame if something goes wrong. We don't have to train our technicians to do it. But like, for those people that want it, they can't say that it's not possible. We're not offering it, but they can't say that it's not possible. Conspiracy theory, but you never know.
I mean, I think it is ironic that you mentioned there, right, that one of the likely reasons that they're doing this is because it makes it cheaper to produce. And I feel like that really hit the nail on the head, where it's like, yeah, of course, Apple would make the storage removable to make it cheaper for them, not for you.
Yeah.
Because for you, you're going to pay $200 to get to go from 512 to a terabyte. That's $200. Boop, boop, boop. But for us, it's very cheap because we've made it removable and extremely easy. I mean, think about this, right? The M4 Mac Mini only comes with, I can't remember if it's 2 or 3 different RAM options for the 4 gigabyte, for the M4 regular chip. I'm pretty sure, I'm double checking right now. There's 2 RAM options. You can get 16 is standard, but you can only upgrade it to 24 or 32. So that means there only are 3 different variants of the M4 logic board. This is something that Apple Silicon and Tim Cook specifically have been absolutely beelining towards, right? You can tell that Tim Cook comes from the product manufacturing and supply chain part of the business, because the absolute genius of what he is able to do, what he has done streamlining the entire vertical stack, is unbelievable. Like, it's crazy enough that you can build one processor and stick it in an iPad Pro, a Mac Mini, an iMac, and a MacBook Pro, and then later in a MacBook Air. That already is nuts. But when you design this Mac Mini in this particular way, the actual logic board itself only has 3 different versions. And that makes a big difference for production costs. I mean, let's take back in the old day, when you could really go ham on the customization under Intel. Think about it this way. You go back to, let's say, 2019, right? You had 3 CPUs, 4 GPUs, 4 different RAM options, 8 different storage options. Think about how many permutations of configurations that could add up to. That's a lot of different options. What if someone gets the base CPU, but they want an extra GPU? That's a distinct board. What if they want the middle CPU and the middle GPU, or the highest CPU with no extra GPU? Holy cow, this is too much. And that is what ends up in situations like what I was in at the beginning of 2020, where I had a very weird spec 2018 15-inch MacBook Pro that I took in to get a keyboard. They somehow nuked the logic board, killed the whole thing, said, uh-oh, we don't have this part, we cannot get this part, so now we have to give you a brand new MacBook for free.
Yeah, and that happened to both of us, that we ended up getting new MacBooks. But it is
that's right.
Yeah, because you had the eBay one, or the one that you were going to sell on eBay, and then got that replaced, and then I had my whole fiasco that.
And yours was also a weird custom configuration, your MacBook Pro. That's probably a good reason as to why that whole mess happened.
Yeah, it was a 2017 15-inch MacBook Pro, and I think it was upgraded. I think the CPU and or the GPU were upgraded at least some amount. So yeah, it wasn't like, it wasn't the base model. It was definitely like an upgraded spec. So that
was like the top spec.
Yeah, it was a good one. But it is a good point that it's so, like, it's extremely streamlined. And then Dostude was saying a little bit earlier in the chat that, like, it's literally the difference between the RAM configs. Which was basically the same as this comment. He was saying the difference between the RAM configs are just the chips. The actual board is the same, and then the other comment saying the same chips, basically the same components. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's like there's the three different There's like, you know, the different chips. There's like, you know, the M4, it's like there's binned versions and non-binned versions. But like, yeah, the RAM, they're just sticking, you know, sticking some extra modules on there. The storage in these chips where it's removable, or not removable, but it's modular, then, you know, they just stick that in there. So it's a lot simpler. And then someone else a while ago had a comment about how if there's a repair that needs to be done, they can, you know, save a bit more of the computer. Like if there's something happens to a Mac Mini, if it's the problem with the storage, they could probably just swap out the storage. If it's a problem with something else, they could probably keep that storage and like stick it into a new board or something like that. So it probably does help Apple there as well with, you know, storage and Apple Care and repair related things.
Which is funny because we're literally watching Apple find out in real time the benefits of removable components that everyone has known about for like 100 years. But all of a sudden, Apple's like, wait a minute. If we have the storage on its own removable module, then that means we don't have to replace their entire computer if something fails. Wow, what a great idea. Someone should have thought of this. It's like, yeah, buddy, everyone thought of that. And DOS Dude's earlier comment, I should have clarified that that's what I meant. Yes, the only difference between the three different configurations of board that you can get in that Mac Mini is the RAM chips. Everything else is identical. And in many cases, that is true between different types of product, right? An M4 Mac Mini and an M4 MacBook Pro, yeah, the logic boards are different shapes, but a lot of the underlying circuitry and components is the same. They just rearrange it to make the logic board a different shape. We actually found this with the DTK. It is sort of like a patchwork quilt of little bits taken from other Apple products. I think a lot of people kind of think that each logic board is sort of a bespoke creation, but the benefit of Apple Silicon is because it's so compact and efficient, it doesn't take up a ton of space on a PCB. So when it comes time to say, hey, let's put in an iMac, let's put in an iPad, let's put in a Mac Mini, you can reuse, I mean, all the power regulation, all of the connections for the PCI lanes coming out of the M4 chip, the connections for the Thunderbolt ports. You can reuse a lot of these components pretty much unchanged, just rearranged. And that saves a ton of money, a ton of cost, even to the consumer as well. I mean, look, the craziest part about Apple Silicon is that they have not really raised the prices. And in a time where, you know, there's so much focus on inflation, it is kind of crazy that this new Mac Mini is $599. That's the price tag that the M1 Mac Mini used, and the M1 Mac Mini was actually a decrease in price over the 2018. The 2018 Mac Mini, when that came out, was, I think it was $799. So they lobbed $200 off the price, introduced it during COVID, and then have kept that same price this whole time. Same thing with the iMac. Dude, the iMac had that, you know, the starting price of $1,299?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the first iMac with that starting price was?
The first iMac with that starting price. Was it, I'm just taking a guess here, but was it the I don't know what it was called, the unibody iMac, but like when they slimmed down the iMac, like when was that, like 2012? Oh yeah,
like the slim side 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're wrong. The first iMac that came out at $1,299 was the iMac. Literally, the original iMac in 1998 was $1,299.
Oh, wow.
They've kept that starting price for 26 years.
That's
nuts.
Pretty, yeah. I mean, when you think about inflation, like when you start trying to calculate inflation in there, that is, I mean, obviously technology has gotten a lot cheaper in the past 26 years. So like
true,
fabricating, building tech products has gotten a lot cheaper. So I guess that's how Apple's been able to maintain that price. But it is a good point that, like, especially like lately, there's, you know, a lot of concerns about inflation, things seeming very expensive. It is nice, like when Apple announced the Mac Mini, saying it was going to be at the same price. They've done the bump to 16 gigs of unified memory across the board, and they haven't increased any prices over that either. So seeing those things are actually it's actually really nice that, like, because I could yeah. see Apple either charging for that, like I could see them increasing the price of the Mac Mini. I could see them keeping 8 gigs as the standard and really trying to push people to 16 and say, if you want Apple Intelligence, you better get 16 and use that as like a selling point to get people to go up. But Apple didn't do that. They just put it in all of their products, which is really good. So it's a rare, maybe not rare, but it's a it's worth giving some credit, I think, to Apple for that.
Yeah, I think you were right with rare, just because it's 2024 and we're just now, just this week, we're going to 16 gigabytes of RAM as standard. It's like, it's one of those things where you feel obligated to say thank you because it is nice and it does make a big difference. But you're also like, really? Real? I'm thanking you for this? It's in my mind, this is like thanking a kindergartner for not, you know, vomiting all over the carpet. Maybe it's unexpected. You know, maybe you're used to them vomiting all over the carpet, but you still feel like, why am I thanking you for this? That's the default state.
Yeah, I feel like if the iCloud free tier ever goes above 5 gigs, it's going to be the same thing.
Yes.
If that ever happens.
I don't think it will. What has it been like? I think they started in 2010 or 2011.
It's been a long time, and I don't see that's. I feel like that's inflation. There's like there's like inflation in terms of money, but there's inflation in terms of like storage space. You know what I mean? I feel like things mm-hmm. are getting bigger. Games are getting bigger. Photos are higher quality. They're getting everything's getting bigger, and the free tier iCloud is not keeping up with data inflation. You know.
Yeah, data inflate. I mean, you can barely keep, you know, 7 JPEGs and a couple of PDFs in that. Come on, what are we doing here? 5 gigs? I've had people, I know friends that have lost all of their photos because they only have 5 gigs of iCloud, which is not sufficient for. I mean, dude, imagine this. What if you have an iPhone 16 and you're like, oh, I want to take some pro raw photos. Boop, 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 boop. 10 photos in, you filled up your iCloud photo library.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it, you know, it's another one of those ways that Apple gets more money out of you. And they're like, mm-hmm. you know, they get you on the internal storage, they get you on the cloud storage. And I can only imagine how much money Apple is making if you combine those two things together. But it's not great for us.
Dude. I will tell you, I am just about, I am so over the storage pricing that Apple is offering. That actually pisses me off. I know we talked about this last week and I won't harp on it, but it just, every single time I do one of these reviews, and I only review base models, I will not pay for Apple storage upgrades. I refuse to do it. I will not do it. But every single time, I'm like, man, this is such a good product. I wish it had a little bit more storage. How much would it cost if I did that? Oh, and now it's not a good value anymore. Uh-oh, stinky.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, it's and then the thing is, it's like, okay, so just buy the base model and get like a hard drive or an SSD or something, especially if you have a Mac Mini or a Mac Studio or okay, if you have a desktop Mac, or even if you have mm-hmm. a laptop that you're going to dock frequently, it's like, okay, just buy an external drive, plug it in, and put it there. And that's a fine solution, but it's still not... when you have the internal storage, it's like, okay, when you have, you know, your user account, you have your desktop, your downloads folder, your documents folder, music, pictures, video, movies, whatever. You have all those folders. And then if you have an external hard drive, it's like, you know, all your stuff could be in two places. It's like your internal drive is so well organized, or at least Apple structures it to be very well organized, and it's, you know, well integrated into the system. But like when you have the external drive, it's like then you got to worry about like managing it, taking stuff off and putting stuff on and keep it whatever. It's like it is a little bit of a hassle. I understand why people, well, I mean, I upgraded my internal storage, so who am I to talk about? Like, I understand why people do it, because it's like it's so much more convenient. You pay a hell of a premium for that, but it is more convenient.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's how they get you, right? They know you don't have a choice until someone makes a storage upgrade for the new Mac Mini. But I do want to, we're going down the storage rabbit hole again. And okay, it's a tempting rabbit hole because, man, do I hate those rabbits. But I'll tell you what, if we ignore the storage and we take solace in the fact that it will be upgradable eventually, this is the best computer that you can buy right now. This is the M4 Pro. I think I have two of them, and I cannot tell which is which. That's the they should have given it like a little subtext or something there. Oh, I think this is the M4 Pro. It is slightly heavier, and I mean, first of all, the storage modules are not compatible between the two. I have a full video that's going to come out tomorrow morning. I basically, it's like a big old Mac Mini video. I did it all. I replaced my $8,000 M2 Ultra Mac Mini. I replaced the Mac Pro with the Mac Mini because I was like, holy cow, this thing is so good. And it's a very good video. You guys should definitely watch it. And the funniest part about it is that at $1,399, this M4 Pro Mac Mini, that's the binned one, by the way, it really gives you, like, I would even say 80% of the experience you get out of the M2 Ultra Mac Pro. In a number of key ways, it is so unbelievably close. In the Final Cut Pro render, doing a 30-minute timeline in 4K, 60 FPS, you know, all that jazz, it's 10 seconds slower than the M2 Ultra. $1,400, $8,000, 10 second different. That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this, I think last week we went into some detail. We looked at like some Geekbench scores and stuff, and we basically said that M4 was a pretty significant leap over even M3. Like this year, for their chips, they focused a lot on the performance. So it is really, it is kind of crazy to compare like an M2 Ultra in a Mac Pro. To be fair, like the fact that it's a Mac Pro, I don't think is doing all that much for it, because it really is just like a tiny little thing sitting in the corner of it. But it's still crazy to be like an M2 Ultra chip in a Mac Pro, because, you know, Mac Pro is supposed to mean something. It's supposed to be the most powerful Mac, right? But you compare that to the Mac Mini, which is a tiny little thing that fits in your hand, and, you know, it starts at, you know, it's super, it's very, very reasonable, very, very cute, and it's like, and it's putting in, you know, pretty good work. So it's, I wish that I could justify getting one of those, because they look really cool. And, you know, as you've just told us, they perform really well.
Yeah, I mean, look, the simple reality is I don't need one either. Once you have one desktop, you pretty much don't need another one. And spoiler alert, for the end of my video, which you guys will see tomorrow, I'm not going to permanently replace my Mac Pro. And the reason for that isn't even really about performance, although critically, the M2 Ultra is significantly faster in video exporting, and that is a big factor for me, obviously, right? Like, I export stuff all the time, and the M2 Ultra is a lot faster because it's two M2 Maxes. It's two processors. So it has twice the media encoders. Not a lot you can do about that. The M4 Pro is really, really good, but it's not two of its own self, right? Like, yeah, it, you know, there's certain things that it's just a limitation. But the main reason is the internal storage. I would commit heinous crimes to get a Mac Studio with a PCI slot. Oh, the crimes I would commit, Noah. Oh, so many very, very bad crimes. I would arson. Sure. Not a problem. Tax fraud. Why not? Look. Where do I draw the line? The line is very blurry, okay? I don't have a red line in the sand here. When you're talking about crimes I would commit to get a Mac Studio with one, maybe, dare I even say, two PCI slots? Oh, geez. Be careful. I would invade Poland for that.
Oh, jeez.
I'll do it. I'll go. Send me to the front lines.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like... I mean, I'm not gonna say that I get it, because I'm not a PCI freak, like some people.
Well, but it's not about the PCI; it's what the PCI represents, okay? Because that is freedom, that is the ability to buy an SSD off of Amazon, pop it in there, and boom, you've got yourself a built-in SSD. Oh, praise be, absolutely. Look, I haven't gone to church in a while. I'm an atheist. I'd say, hey, look, maybe let's reconsider that. They put a PCI in a Mac Studio. I'd be like, someone's looking out for me. Someone up on high said, hey, we need to send this guy a sign, and that's it.
I mean, look, I totally get it, because the fact is that if you want to have a PCI slot in a Mac, if you want to have a Mac that is user upgradable without, you know, being a genius and doing all kinds of crazy hoops to jump through, then you have to get a Mac Pro, which is really big and bulky, and it's really expensive, and it's like it's a lot. So I definitely agree that it would be nice if the Mac Studio had that. I also wonder that, so now that the Mac Mini got this big redesign and it's a lot better than it was before and still the same price, which is great, I feel like Apple needs to separate the Mac Mini and the Mac Studio. And it's more important now than ever, especially because the Mac Studio is, you know, doesn't, the Mac Mini has a newer chip than the Mac Studio. And yeah, the Mac Studio, you can configure it to a higher spec and it'll be more powerful, but like, and eventually it will get M4 and M4 Pro and M4 Max, but like Apple does need to keep them separated. I don't think that they're actually going to put a PCI slot in the Mac Studio, like realistically, but you know, Apple has to keep them separated. And I guess is the base one has the M4 and the M4 Pro as options. The Studio would be like the Pro and Max. And there's a couple other differences, like the SD card and the Ultra, right? So the Ultra, and I guess that's enough of a difference that, you know, the more powerful chips in the Studio, they have the SD card reader on the front, and I guess that's enough of a difference between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, you know, people look at the Mac Studio now and they're kind of like, why? What's the point of this? But that's because it is, you know, it's on the M2 generation, so like. I mean, the base Mac Studio for $2,000 to get an M2 Max right now, terrible deal. No, don't do that at all, because the M4 Pro might not be faster than an M2 Ultra, but it sure as heck is faster than an M2 Max. Not even close. Smokes that thing, certainly in terms of CPU. So we really do have to keep in mind that we are between generations on that device, right? And there will come a time, probably, let's say, spring of next year. You know, you don't have to be a leaker to put that together. Probably either, you know, somewhere between March and June would be my guess. And we will probably get the M4 Max and an M4 Ultra. And that, I think, is going to be pretty significant, because for $2,000 to get a Max chip, If it's an M4 Max for $2,000, oh yeah, sign me up. Because I've been tested the M4 Max, and I gotta say, it is an incredibly good chip, but it's not a good value. We talked about this last week. It is way too expensive. It's like $900 to upgrade to the binned version of the M4 Max in the MacBook Pros. Not a good value. Not a good value at all. I'll have my videos on the M4 Max and stuff like that. That'll be coming this week as well, so stay tuned for that. But, you know, it really does make the most sense in the Mac Studio, and I think that will be a really strong value. But what I've been wondering now is, like, do I go the Mac Pro route again? If they do an M4 Ultra update to the Mac Pro, do I spend another $8,000 to get that with the storage? You know, because I could keep my storage. I already spent, okay, granted, it's not that expensive when you can use non-Apple things. You know, it was like $600 to put 32 terabytes in this Mac Pro. So, like, would it be nice to be able to keep that and use that in, you know, an M4 generation of chip that would, I'm sure, be absolutely unreal? Yeah, it would. But do I want to spend another $8,000 already? I don't know, man. It's just so expensive. Only to get, you know, the only benefit that you get for that $3,000 premium over the Mac Studio, the only thing that you get is, hey, here's some PCI slots.
Yeah, and then I guess somewhat more marginal material cost, because they have to give you a big old cube instead of a little guy that sits on your desk.
Well, that's true. Yeah, but, I mean, look, I understand why the Mac Pro is more expensive. I don't think it should be $3,000 more expensive. But, like, you know, it is not cheap to make those things. Not cheap at all. So, like, I'm not saying that it should be the same price, but, dude, even $1,000 less, and I would be more like, okay, maybe I can do that. If it was $1,000 to go from a Mac Studio to a Mac Pro, easiest choice of my life. I'd buy that Mac Pro any day of the week. But $3,000 is, that's like, I could buy an entire M4 Pro 16-inch MacBook Pro for that money.
Or you could buy like a lots of storage in like a NAS kind of thing. So instead of having it be built in, it would be some, you know, network system. So yeah, it is. So let me ask you this. I'm curious.
I have 5 Mac minis.
Yeah, you can stack them on top of each other, make a little mini server farm.
Exactly. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So in your Mac Pro, are you using all of the PCI lanes in there?
No. That's the craziest thing. I mean, because the thing is, they kept the logic board from when it was previously an Intel Mac Pro. So, like, a lot of those PCI slots, well, specifically, at the very least, one or two of them were taken up by a graphics card, right? So you needed that. But now, you don't need that. So they just gave you a crap ton of PCI slots. And to be quite honest, there's really not that much that you can do with those PCI slots on Apple Silicon. You can use them for storage. You can use them for like some expansion. You know, maybe there's a couple, you know, you could probably get like a Stream Deck or a capture card or something like that. You could get, God, I don't know. I mean, USB card, you know, just little stuff like that. But you have, I don't even remember how many slots. I think it's 6. That's, come on, guys. We don't need 6. This is why I'm saying, Mac Studio with 2 PCI slots, you could kill the whole Mac Pro. Burn the factory down for all I care. That would be the dream. That's what I want.
I feel like before the Mac Pro got Apple Silicon, I think we were talking about rumors. And there were like these rumors that there was going to be a smaller Mac Pro. Like it would, and I think it was maybe even going to look similar to the current one, but just like a miniature version. Much like how the Mac Mini is a miniature version of what it used to look like. Imagine if, see, I don't know if Apple would do this to the Mac Studio just because, you know, the Mac Studio, it'd be weird to say that there's a Mac Studio, there's a version with PCI, a version without, like it would be, one of them would be a lot taller, mm-hmm. but whatever. But imagine if they had a Mac Pro that was built for Apple Silicon, and it was, maybe it looks similar to the current one, but it's like noticeably smaller. Maybe it only has two or three PCI lanes instead of six, but it would be a lot mm-hmm. smaller. It would be a bit less ridiculous, you know, this ginormous chassis with a little, you know, Apple Silicon in the corner. And it would, you know, ideally, okay, it probably wouldn't actually be cheaper, but like, maybe if they're removing a bunch of PCI lanes and making it smaller, maybe it is $1,000 cheaper. And it's still $2,000 more than the Mac Studio, but it's not $3,000 more.
I agree. I think that would be a... And look, here's the thing. The Mac Pro is the only Apple Mac device that did not get a redesign yet. Think about it. The Mac Mini was a holdout, but since 2020, every single Mac has now been redesigned for Apple Silicon, except the Mac Pro. So I don't think we should necessarily count on them doing that, but I also don't think that we should, as many people have, just completely rule it out, right? I don't see why Apple couldn't make, I mean, like you said, it could be the exact same design, but half the size with half the PCI slots. Job done. Knock $1,000 off the price. That sounds pretty great. I'd buy it. It would still probably not be at the best value, but I would buy it. Because I really don't like having all of my storage be, you know, wires and ports coming out the back. Is that not antithetical to everything that Apple has stood for the longest time? Like, wasn't their whole pitch minimalist? You don't need a bunch of wires everywhere. But right now, still to this day, their solution for storage, whether it be a Mac Mini or a Mac Studio, is, hey, just plug some big hunkin' ugly thing out the back of it. That's your solution? You still haven't, like, even designed your own, dog. Make your own proprietary internal module. I'd even be okay with that. I would still, you know, obviously it'd be like $2,000 to get 8 terabytes official Apple Mac Studio module or whatever it would be. But that would still be better because at the very least I'd know, hey, 5-6 years down the line when somebody has this thing used, they can do it themselves. And that's really what matters. You know, I don't really care all that much if Apple charges out the ass for their storage if someone later on can just do it themselves in their own way that they see fit, right? If every single one of Apple's devices shipped with these same storage modules in the Mac Mini, you'd never hear a peep out of me about storage. Maybe one peep. I'd peep one time to say, it would be nice if it was a little cheaper. But that's it. Because if I can do it myself, I don't care. It's not relevant. That's the thing with the Mac Mini. It is no longer relevant what Apple will charge you. Poof. Gone. Doesn't matter. Wait about a year and you'll just be able to go on and buy one. And that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, definitely there are a lot of people that won't think about it. You know, after they buy the thing, they'll buy it with whatever storage they have and they'll be fine. And if it's not enough, they'll, you know, get a hard drive or something. For the people that do care, you know, yeah, it's good to know that it'll be an option, you know, in the future. And like, yeah, it's nice to know that you can, first of all, you don't have to spend a bunch of money up front. You don't have to give Apple a bunch of money up front to say, ooh, maybe I'm going to need this in the future. Let me just be safe and buy it, you know. Or maybe you think, oh, I'll be safe and I'll buy, you know, whatever. I'll do one upgrade. But then later on down the line, you realize, oh, I should have actually gone even further. Like, I'm using even more space than I thought. I should get even more. And if you can do that, that's really nice. Or it's just nice to have the flexibility. You don't have to decide up front and hope that mm-hmm. you're making the right decision. You don't want to pay too much for storage you're not going to need, but you don't want to be left without enough. If you can do it on your own, if it's an option, obviously the easier the better, the less soldering involved. Ideally, there would be no soldering involved, but as long as it's at least possible to do, the people that really want to do it will do it, and it's just good that they'll have, you know, that option.
Yeah, and I mean, it is nice to have that option. It really just felt like a tremendous amount of calm, right? Because it kind of feels like when it comes to Apple's pricing, you're kind of getting beaten in both directions, right? It's not just the storage, but the RAM as well. And that is what makes this Mac Mini just a breath of fresh air, because first of all, you don't have to pay any money to get 16 gigabytes of RAM. Finally. And we now have that glimmer of down the road upgradable storage. So that means that, you know, if you're going to get screwed by Apple's prices, you're only going to have to get screwed on the RAM. And they do charge, I think it's $400 to go from 16 to 32. It's just like a comedy land that we all live in. And we're all just like, ha ha ha, okay, that's fine. That makes sense. $400, just, you know, 80% of the cost of the Mac Mini just for two little RAM chips. That's fine. Don't worry about that. But, you know, at least that's the only way you're getting ripped off. And, you know, when you look at the rest of the Mac Mini, it's just so good. And the thing is, it's not just the storage that they have also improved, because most of the stuff in here is modular. You can pull the ports out. Those are separate pieces. So, you know, if you know, let's say your baby projectile vomits all over your desk and that it just goes right in the ports and just kills them, that's okay. You don't need a whole new computer. You might want one. Might be, you know, too horrible to even look at that computer ever again, but it won't be because the ports killed the entire logic board. Same thing with the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth card. That's on a separate piece that plugs in. It's like a, you know, you take off the bottom foot of the Mac Mini and there's another plate down there with all the antennas on it that also has the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth card. So that means that's not soldered onto the board. It's like this crazy epiphany that Apple's realizing, hey, wait a minute, if we don't solder everything into one thing, we don't have to replace the whole board all the time. Holy cow, this is a crazy innovation.
Yeah, it's good to see these things, because I guess we talked about this at the beginning of the episode, but like a while ago, okay, take like the unibody MacBook Pro, for example, there was at least more modularity than there has been for a while. Like I remember, you know, on my 2011 MacBook Pro, I took out the CD drive and I put another hard drive in there. So I had, or actually it was, it was a hard drive in there, and I put an SSD as my main drive. So I had a Fusion drive and I had two drives in the computer. So like the drive was separate and that was a standard size, drive that you could put in there.
2.5 inch, yeah. Regular, so, boy.
Like for like those kinds of things, it was super nice. And then I feel like we got away from that, especially with like the 2016 generation, when Apple was really going for the thin. They were trying to be thin, maybe light, not super light, but maybe I guess just thin above all else. And we lost a lot of modularity. And then obviously Apple Silicon is very much integrated, but like it is always good to see things that are, you know, when things are more modular, it's better for Apple. It's better for Apple. It's cheaper for them to produce. They can like produce the modules separately and just drop them in where they need to go. It's cheaper for repairs if Apple needs to replace something. And it's cheaper for the consumer, even if Apple doesn't make it easy for you to get the parts and do the repairs yourself. If it's at least possible, then some people are going to do it. So it's always a win. And it's good that Apple's going a little bit more in that direction than maybe they have been for a while.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling. But you guys should definitely check back tomorrow morning for my review of the new Mac Mini and, you know, comparing it to the Mac Pro. It's just comical. It really is just comical to see something that small that's that good. And my next task is getting prepped for my M4 Max review. I've got the M4 Max MacBook Pro. We're going to do, I think I might do two videos with that. We'll see how it shakes out. It might end up being one. But really going into it, I think the M4 Pro is just so good that it makes you really question whether you need the Max at all, especially with the price differential. Now, when there's a Mac Studio that has the M4 Max, that to me sounds like a good deal. $2,000 for an M4 Max in a box. Okay, yeah, I'll take that. That's a good idea. But on its own, I think, you know, it was clear from the event video type thing that the M4 Max is not the focus this year, because it's the same core structure as before. 40 GPU, 16 CPU, right? So, like, you know, definitionally, it's not going to be a massive, massive jump, right? It's only going to be as much faster as the individual cores are. And so far, that does seem like still a pretty solid upgrade, but the value is just so strong for the M4 Pro because it's so good. The fact that this $1,400 computer has a full M4 Pro, man. I mean, think about it this way. $1,999 will get you the same binned M4 Pro in a 14-inch MacBook. Now, granted, you're going to get a battery, a keyboard, a trackpad, a screen, and a really good one. But at the end of the day, for $1,400, if you use your extra $600 to get yourself a 4K monitor, mouse, and keyboard for this thing, that's a pretty darn good little workstation. And you know, a lot of people are buying that $2,000 MacBook and then have a monitor to dock it to. So, like, it kind of, to me, I feel like if I were a normal, reasonable human being who's like, I want to have a desktop and I want to have a laptop, I would have an M4 Pro Mac Mini and just like a M2 MacBook Air. I would want the smallest, lightest, thinnest MacBook possible and have my Mac Mini on standby for when I need some extra grunt.
Yeah, I almost wonder, you know, I've been, you know, talking about like downgrading, quote unquote, from a MacBook Pro to a MacBook Air. And I still think that the Air alone would be enough. But I wonder if for some people, if you had like the Mac Mini like sitting on your desk and then you had a MacBook Air, like if you work out the price difference of like you have two computers, you have an Air and a Mini versus just having a Pro that you dock sometimes, like it's kind of an interesting. That's not really why the Mac Mini exists, right? It doesn't exist to be like, you know, you're going to have a Mac Mini and a MacBook Air necessarily. But, like, it is kind of an interesting, like, I think it would be really cool if I had one. This setup that I have right here, I literally only use this for the podcast. Like, I do have a desk here. Like, if I wanted to sit here and do work, I could, but I only use it for that. But if I use this desk more often, it would be kind of nice to have a Mac Mini just, you know, sitting here plugged in, always ready to go. I already have a display, a mouse and keyboard in front of me, so I'm not interested in an iMac for here. But, like, a little Mac Mini sitting on the desk would be kind of nice. I don't think it's worth it for me, but, like, if I use this more, it would be nice.
I mean, heck, I think that's a pretty great example of the exact type of use case scenarios that the Mac Mini is meant for. You know, it's for the situation where you're saying, oh, well, I already have the monitor, the mouse, and the keyboard, and maybe you're just tired of docking your laptop. Like, I get it as like a as a thing to do. It's like, right, I can have one device, I can bring it with me, and I can use it at my desk, right? Totally get that. That's a great thing to be able to do. But maybe there does come a time where you're like, you know, it would be less expensive to have a laptop that's a separate thing, you know, like an M2 MacBook Air, and then your Mac Mini, if you need to upgrade that, like let's say you had an M2 Pro Mac Mini and you say, I really want the M4 Pro. Well, then there you go. Just sell your old one, swap it out. You don't need a new keyboard or mouse or a laptop or a display. Like it's really nice to just have a little standalone nugget. And you know, I go back and forth on this because really Apple does cover all of the different ways that you would want to do it, right? When you're talking about having a desktop setup and a laptop and like what different combinations of that can you get? There's pretty much something for everyone, you know? If you say, well, I have a MacBook Air, I don't need any performance, I just want a super minimal desk setup, there's your iMac, right? One-stop shop, you get your monitor, mouse, keyboard, computer, all in one, very, very clean and minimal setup, one plug, bada bing, bada boom, you're up and running in 5 minutes. Pretty compelling. But if you say, hey, you know, I'd like a 32-inch monitor, and I'd like to have portability and power, there you go. You got a MacBook Pro with an M4 Pro. You got both, right? You got the same performance as a desktop in a laptop. Job done. Or you say, hey, I would like my laptop to be separate, and I would like a screen larger than 24 inches. There you go. You got your Mac Mini. It's really genuinely hard to go wrong. And I think it's, you know, in that sort of middle ground price point, if you will, you know, it's not cheap. Having a MacBook and a Mac Mini and a whole desk setup, that's not going to be cheap at all. Neither is having an iMac and a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro docked to a 5K studio display. Like, none of these things are cheap. But for $1,000 to $3,000, you have a lot of options. Where Apple is weak is the higher end. Because outside of the Mac Studio, what are we doing here? The displays are a wreck. We have an overpriced, too small, non-promotion, non-OLED, non-anything display that's been around for like 10 years. We have a Pro Display XDR that's been around for 5 years and is still way too expensive. And you've got this weird, goofy Mac Pro. I get it, right? Like, there's less people that buy in that high end, but it does feel a little bit awkward as someone who does want to be in that space going, hey, I do kind of need some PCI. I work with a lot of storage. I kind of need to be able to do that. I think I've graduated from prefer and now I'm in need dual monitors for my workflow. And like these desires, if you don't want to spend 20 grand on stuff that doesn't really make sense in a modern product lineup, like my only choice would be buy a Mac Pro and two Pro Display XDRs. That's literally almost 20 grand. What are we doing?
Yeah, it is a shame that Apple is definitely they're not prioritizing the pros, the real pros, the ultras, if you will. You know, if we have the regulars,
I like that.
You know, we have the pros, the maxes, the ultra. Okay, so the ultras, right? So
that's good. Yeah,
this is pretty good, right? So the it is a shame, and I understand. I guess from Apple's perspective, it's basically what you said, is like there aren't that many people that are at that level. There are so many more people that are at the lower tiers that you can just sell them, you know, all the stuff that Apple sells, like the MacBook Air and the you know, Mac Mini and all the entry level stuff that's good for so many people, because Apple Silicon itself is just so good and powerful and energy efficient and everything. So it really is a shame. I feel like Apple has always had, they've never been the incredible with the ultras, with the higher tier. They've definitely tried more at some times than at other times. They've never really been perfect, but it does kind of seem like lately they're not really trying as hard with, you know, to get those top level people. And I feel like Apple does care about that segment, or at least they say that they do. They say that they really care about those people, but I agree that lately it seems like they're not doing all that much, you know, to help out people like you.
And you know what? Also, it's definitely not people like me. I'm definitely a little bit of a poser. You know, I could be absolutely fine using lesser hardware. I just, you know, it. Anyway, I think I've cracked it. And we're running a little over, so this will be our final thoughts here today. The reason that Apple is neglecting pros right now is because they have to develop the chip. In the past, when they made a Mac Pro, you know, obviously a lot of engineering and time and work goes into making that, but the graphics cards, the processors, they didn't make those things. But now, when they make those really high-end chips, they are taking on all of the cost of developing that, manufacturing that, all for a low-yield product. You know, the Mac Pro has never been a huge mass market, you know, millions of unit a year. So when it comes to, you know, when you develop an M4 chip, that's great because you can put that in everything and you will sell trillions, quintillions of those, right? That's a good ROI. They're cheap to make. They're not cheap to develop, but your reward for developing an M4 chip is massive because it's going to go in the iPads, MacBooks, iMac, Mac Mini, and then it'll trickle down in, you know, iPad Airs in 2 or 3 years. Like, that's a huge amount of lifespan that you get from that. But when you're developing even an M2 Ultra, the cost of making that just to sell a couple thousand units, it's not a great incentive. So that's why I fear that Apple is kind of dooming their own relationship with pros.
Yeah, it's just kind of the economics of it. I definitely agree. I mean, like, the Mac Studio was a pretty big deal. Like, right now, obviously, it needs a chip upgrade. But, like, at least when it came out, it was a pretty big deal. And that's the kind of computer that I feel like you can only have with Apple Silicon. But, like, imagine how long – we don't know how long Apple was working on something like that. They could have tried to build a Mac Studio with Intel in the Intel days. Or for however long Apple has been working on Apple Silicon, they very well could have also been working on the Mac Studio. So, like, so to your point, we don't know really how long Apple's been working on that. Maybe there is going to be a next generation Mac Pro. There really is going to be a redesign or something. And we don't know how long Apple's been working on that because it takes a lot of time. Like you said, they have to deal with all the different aspects of it now. And it's not, maybe not a priority for them, or as much of a priority as getting the base level chips out every year so they can stick them in all the products and, you know, make a bunch of money that way. So yeah, I agree.
Well, I'll tell you what's not going to make a bunch of money, and that is us doing this podcast, because we have yet to turn a profit. But we have given you guys 8 extra minutes of podcasty time today, and also, oh, shoot, nope, never mind. I was going to say we're going to be here next week, but we're not. I'm going to be away.
Okay,
and then wait a minute. So if I'm not here next week, what about the 24th? Are you here on the 24th?
Probably not, but maybe.
Okay. Because I will be here. I'm leaving the next day, so it's a little dicey. So we'll call that a hard maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So we may be off for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's all right.
See how that goes.
We've given you guys a lot here, I think.
Yeah, take the next kinda. 3 weeks to really reflect on everything and think about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Reflect, drink it all in, go back, listen to the old episodes that are now no longer relevant because they were talking about things that have now already happened. But don't worry about that. Anyway, I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin. We will see you next time, and have a great night.